Luke chapter 9, verse 27. You're there? Good, good. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And he prayed. The appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. Now it happened on the next day when they had come down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out saying, Teacher, I implore you, look at my son, for he's my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. And Jesus answered and said, Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to the father. They're all amazed at the majesty of God. I want to speak today about this passage where Jesus, some said, I tell you that he said to them, to the disciples, there's some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. And what he was speaking of was we see the kingdom of God, not when we die, but we see the kingdom of God when we're in the presence of God and we're in the glory of God. Because the king's domain is the domain. It's the realm of the spirit that Jesus brought back. And so Jesus took John and James and Peter up the mountain. And he took them up the mountain and he took them up the mountain and he prayed. And as he prayed, they had an experience. They had an encounter, and it's so important that, yes, we've got the Word of God, we love the Word of God. It's so important to believe that experiences and actually encounters with God is for you today, because Paul was made through an encounter. All the disciples, they knew Jesus in the natural, and they were disastrous, they kept failing. But when he was risen, he came through the doors. The risen Christ, that was an encounter, a supernatural encounter in the spirit with Christ. All fear left them, they left and they went and become world beaters. So we believe for encounters with God. We believe experiences in the Holy Ghost, and we actually need to have these. Why? Jesus took them up there deliberately, and they had this encounter, this amazing experience, which we can't fully relate to because we weren't there, but Peter speaks about it later, how majestic it was. They're up there, and as they got on the mountain, Jesus started to pray, and as he prayed, he became white. He was the word is transfigured or transformed. Like a grub becomes a butterfly. He was changed up there. Same word for in Romans chapter 12, which speaks about your mind being transformed. But he was changed and he became a white, as like lightning white. He became incredibly white. And his face shone. And he wasn't reflecting, but light was emanating from him because he is the light of the world. And they saw this extraordinary experience where his face shone and his clothes became white. And there was two people that came down on that mountain, Moses and Elijah. And often people point out the fact that Moses represents the law, and he was there because all the law is fulfilled in Christ. Christ kept all the law on your behalf. He lived a perfectly righteous life. All God's moral requirements that nobody could ever keep, Christ kept them all for you. That's why he is your righteousness. Yeah. So he did that, and also the prophets. All the prophecies are fulfilled in Christ. All the things the good things that God was going to do, all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But there's more than that. Moses represents the authority of God, because he had the staff. And when he threw the staff down, the power of God was released. Elijah represents the power of God. His ministry was one of great power. So it's also, there's a testimony here that Christ fulfills all the law. He fulfills all the prophets, but all authority is in Christ and all power is in Christ. And so they're up there and they're having this encounter. And it speaks about here about Christ appeared in glory. Oh, I love that word. And they saw his glory. And Jesus wants to take us up mountains. And mountains are simply the place of prayer where we actually get his glory, is his manifest presence, because there's a number of things that happened only we experience them in the glory, in the manifest presence of God. And what happens in the manifest presence of God? We too are transformed. How do I know that? If you go to 2 Corinthians 3:8. 2 Corinthians 3:8 is just about my favorite passage in all scripture. And it says, now the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, hallelujah. And we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit is the Lord. So it's basically saying, as we go up the mountain and we in the presence of God, we behold his glory. As we behold his glory, we are becoming that which we behold. You become that which you behold. So the glory of God is transformational. It is how we are transfigured as well, as we come into the glory. And as they're up the glory, they heard a voice say, this is my beloved son, hear him. So you hear in the glory, you hear about the love of God. That's why Ephesians chapter 3, that great passage, Paul prays for the church, and above everything else, he prays that there be glory in the church. And he says, I pray, bow before my knee before the church, the whole family of God's name. And he says, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, you be strengthened through might and the Spirit. But you've got to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth to know the love of Christ. The glory of God reveals to us, as I said last week, the love of Christ, that we are loved by God. And the glory of God is how we are transformed. The glory of God is how we reflect Christ to the world, because as his face shone, our face is shone. But there's a word there that you've got to understand. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful. There is an overshadowing. There's an overshadowing. In the Exodus, there was a cloud that overshadowed the Israelites everywhere they went and protected them. And in Luke chapter 1, 35, we'll get to that in a second. That cloud, when it covered Israel, they were undefeated, because that cloud was the power of God. Everywhere that cloud went, Israel couldn't be defeated. That cloud was the thing that stood between them and the Egyptians who were pursuing them, and saw the Israelites get the deliverance and the Egyptians get destroyed. It's a cloud of God. And God has, he wants to, he actually desires to overshadow our lives. And when we are overshadowed, we speak, that's the anointing, that's the power of God resting upon our lives. And God's desire is that we are overshadowed and enjoy miracles and power. Listen to this. The angel said to Mary, who was pregnant, she said, how this is going to happen? How is a young girl going to be carrying the Messiah? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. That's how. You'll be overshadowed. And when you're overshadowed, all things are possible. And that's why when Peter used to walk in the streets of Jerusalem, they said, oh, we laid the sick down. And as his shadow passed by, they were healed. There's no power in a shadow, but he was overshadowed. He was overshadowed because the anointing of the Spirit was upon him. And that happens simply by coming into the glory of God, simply by getting into the presence of God, sitting there and staying there and desiring fellowship with God, going up the mountain into the place of prayer. It's the only place you get anointed. Some people will tell you, come to a meeting and I'll pray for you can have my anointing. That's how not you get the power of God upon your life. You only get overshadowed with the power of God through intimacy in prayer. You've got to get it for yourself. But when you go up the mountain, Jesus took them up the mountain and they heard the voice. That's a place of prayer. He said, listen to him, hear him. You'll hear Rhema in the place of prayer, the quickened voice of God, not just Logos. And they had this encounter where they saw Christ's face shine. And it was so amazing. They saw the prophets. All fulfilled in Christ. The law, it's all fulfilled in Christ. The power, it's all in Christ. All authority, it's all in Christ. And they saw that and they saw him become radiant. And God was demonstrating his glory on that mountain. And they were in the glory themselves, in the glory of Christ. They were being touched by the glory of Christ. And Peter, sometimes we're in your glory, you don't know what to say. Peter said something silly. He said, shall we build three tents for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus? It says he didn't know what he was saying because he was actually implying that they were equal. But Christ is above all. Christ is above. So Jesus just ignored that. So we come to church. Well, you come to church. Well, you come to the prayer meeting. You come to get in the glory. You come to get in the presence. You come to experience all the goodness, all the power of God. You come to hear from the law. You come to hear from the prophets. You come to hear the word of God. You come to have your voice, your spiritual ear opened. And you come to get anointed with power again. That the power of God will rest upon your life. That's why we come to church. But there's something that I believe God wants to say today. Is that I believe in experiences. I so believe in experience, and I believe everyone needs an encounter with God. I think unless you've had an encounter, maybe you're not really saved. You just need to have an experience in the Holy Spirit. We all do. And as great as experiences are, and as important as they are, there's something we've got to see in this passage, because I believe God wants me to speak today about what he really wants from us. He wants to take us up the mountain. He wants to give us great experiences in the prayer closet where he opens our spiritual ears. We see things in the law and the prophets. We see Christ in new dimensions. We see the glory of Christ in the word, where we actually feel the anointing of God come upon our life, where we become radiant because he's shining his face upon us, and in his presence is fullness of joy. He wants to do that. He wants to do that in your place of prayer, in your closet. And your place of prayer is your mountain. When you go into the prayer closet, that secret place that you have, you're going up the mountain. That's just what it is. But here's the important thing. When they came down the mountain, there was a boy there. And the Spirit seized him. And what happens is when you've had a mountaintop experience on Sunday in church or in your prayer closet, as almost as soon as you have a great experience with God, I want to tell you what's going to happen. Satan is going to put something right in front of you. And it's as though he's saying to you, you're not going to get past me. And it's as though he's trying to mock the experience and challenge that encounter. You see the same thing that happens. If you go to Exodus 32, this is when Moses has been on the mountain. He's been in that place of prayer. He's been in the glory with his face down, seeking God and hearing from God for so many days, 40 days. And then when he came down, it says, verse 15 of chapter 32 of Exodus, Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets. But when he got down, what's the first thing? He just had this amazing encounter with God where the fire came down to the mountain and God wrote on these tablets So he got the word of God and he had the fire of God up there and he had this amazing time with God for 40 days. And he came down. As soon as he came down the mountain, what was the first thing he saw? He saw the camp had built a golden calf and they were dancing around out of control. He just received the instructions from God about what he was to do with his life. He was to build the tabernacle. And as soon as he got to the bottom, it's as though Satan challenged that word. Satan was right there to come against everything he'd heard and everything he experienced on that mountain. All the good that he'd got with God, Satan wanted to undo it right then. And that's what he wants to do. Satan, you can have these great experiences on Sunday, and some of you, you know, they came down from this mountain and there's this man, it's like lunacy, this man and this man who's demonized is like lunacy. And the disciples didn't know how to deal with it. Some of you go home from church on Sunday and you go home to a house, maybe your husband or your partner, your wife is not saved. And it's like you've just had this mountaintop experience and you go home and it's lunacy. There's stuff happening in your home that's just madness. It's like, what is going on? What is happening? Some of you are going to go home and you're going to get bills that you just don't know what to do with. We're going to be real. This is the world we live in. It's like lunacy. It's like, how am I going to pay this? And Satan will challenge you right after you've been on the mountain. Something's going to happen with your marriage. You're going to go home and something's going to blow up in your marriage. And you're going to be thinking, what is going on? I want to tell you, the higher the experience, the bigger the challenge is going to be. So they come down this mountaintop. Christ wants to take you up the mountaintop. But he wants something more from his church than experiences. I've seen people, and I've seen people have great experiences. I've seen testify experiences of God, but they're still defeated. People have great experiences, but they're still defeated. See, Satan wants to negate what happens here on Sunday, Sunday night, Sunday morning. He wants to negate it. And even the Syrians said, oh, your God is the God of the mountains, but we'll fight you in the valley because your God's no good in the valley. That's what they thought, until God won in the valley as well. But Satan wants you. He wants to negate what God does when God anoints you, when God speaks to you. And the trouble with the disciples was that the experience on Sunday never translated into victory on Monday. And when they came down and they could do nothing about what was before them, what Satan before them, it says, Jesus, you've got to understand this, oh, faithless and perverse. It's like, he's calling them evil. It's the same word that was used for the Israelites who wouldn't go into the promised land but pulled back for the giants. When they saw the giants before them, he called them faithful and perverse, evil, because they would not trust in God. And Jesus is not soft on this, just as he's not soft on them when they wouldn't rebuke the storm in Mark chapter 4. He says, you faithful and evil generation, how long shall I bear with you? Bring the son here. It's like Christ is making his deepest complaints. Deepest complaints because they're still, even though they'd had this great experience, when they had this great mountaintop experience, they still could not believe God. They still did not truly believe him. And what God wants more than you to have a great experience, even if you roll around on the floor and say, I've been in Christ, I've been in the glory forever, and you tell everybody about all, I'm all for experiences, real ones. Real experiences, not the false. Real experiences. God doesn't want you to just live for experiences forever. There was a supposed move of God. I wasn't really in it many years ago. All it led to is people wanting to go up the mountain and go up the mountain and go up the mountain, have experience after experience after experience after experience after experience. God doesn't want you to have an experience for experience's sake. What he wants, more than anything else, I'll tell you what he wants. When you come down and the enemy stands before you, and you come down and there's a bill that you think, how am I going to pay it? When you come down and your marriage may be in trouble. You come down and you go home and you hear about someone's sick and there seems to be no worldly hope. What God wants more than anything else is for you to be able to demonstrate Christ to the world. In the face of enemy opposition, in the face of whatever is going on, his desire is for you to be able to manifest and demonstrate Christ to the world. And how do you do it? The disciples couldn't. One of the greatest ways you can do it, I just love this. Jesus got in the glory and his face shone. You know, one of the most powerful things you've got to witness to the world is your face. It's your face. His face shone. And I believe everyone's responsible for the look of their own face by the time they're 60. If you walk in forgiveness and faith, you're going to have the radiance of God. You know the countenance God gets on you? And when God's countenance, you've been on glory. We pray in number 6, oh God, shine your face upon them. And it says, and give them peace. God wants your, no matter what happens to you, he wants your face to be at peace. He wants your face to be a face full of joy. Because if you're unforgiving and you hold grudges, you're going to end up with a bitter face. You ever seen those faces that are overly wrinkled by the time they're 60? Because they're bitter. You know, you got a bitter face. God, if you get in the glory, he wants you to be able to come out and your face be one of love, your face be one of confidence, your face be one of peace. Your face witnesses to the world. I just love Tomaney's face. Don't you just love Tomaney's face? I don't mean to pick on him, but he has always got the joy of the Lord. I've never seen him not smiling. It's his greatest witness. Always, always full of the joy of the Lord. No matter what happens, I just love it. It's a very, very powerful thing. Second way we manifest Christ to the world is that you do not come apart in the front of demonic opposition. You do not. You know why you don't come apart? Because you've come apart with him. You won't come apart if you come apart with him. If you get alone with him, you will not come apart in the face of opposition. But there are going to be things that challenge you. And God doesn't want you to go home, have a mountain experience top on Sunday. And when you go home and you face that bill and you go, we're going to be poor forever. That doesn't glorify God. Or when you hear about the disease, you go, we're all going to die. Or you know, where something's happening, you just speak defeat and you feel as though I'm gone, nothing's going to happen. That's not what pleases God. God wants you to know that Christ is not only with you on the mountaintop. You know that glory you have on the mountaintop. I want you to know what happens. If you go to John chapter 17, 21. I'm rushing through today because we're a bit pressed. But John chapter 17, 21. Jesus praying for the disciples before he goes to the cross. And he says, I pray that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. The world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. I have given them the glory. That's the power, the manifest presence of God. The overshadowing is not just on the mountaintop. It is with you. He is with you in power in the valley because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. And that glory is now upon you, and that glory is also in you. Oh. So you don't fall apart because the very power of God, the thing that flung planets into space at creation, that power is within you and it is upon you. But you know how that power manifests? That power only ever works through faith. It only ever works through faith. And every mountain that's placed in front of you, God wants you to manifest Christ He wants you to demonstrate Christ to the world. And Christ said, if you speak to the mountain, it will move. And when you come home, and you maybe you go home, and you've got, you go home and maybe somebody tells you, oh, you haven't got the money we thought you had. Instead of saying, we're going to be broken, we're going to go under, you say, no, God's with me. God's power is me to move mountains. And that power is going to be released as I speak the word of faith. And God says he's going to make all grace abound to me, that in all things, in all sufficiency, I will have all my needs met. And as you speak the word of faith and you believe the word of faith and you receive the word of that you're believing, I want to tell you, the power of God begins to move obstacles out of your way. Because the power of God's like, I've said it many, many times, the power of God's like this. God's power, the overshadowing is up there. It's there, it's with you. But what makes the power work? What makes, it's like a lightning cloud. There's power in the cloud. But that power to affect anything on earth, there has to be a conductor. Your faith is the conductor. When the conductor, when faith is working, the power of God actually starts to affect, it has to move from heaven to earth and start to affect your situations. But without faith, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And what God wants, yes, the further you go, the greater experiences you have in him. And he's going to fill this place with more and more of his presence, more and more of his glory. But the more the opposition will be, the more the opposition always is. But God wants you to not only have great experiences, he actually wants you to be able to demonstrate to the world the victory that we have in Christ. He wants you to be able to speak to demons and command them to move and know your authority, because all the power and all the authority is in Christ who is with you. That's what a mountaintop experience does. It reminds you that everything you need is in Christ, and Christ is with you. So if he's with you, how can you fail? He is with you. You are overshadowed by his power. And as you speak to that demon to go, as you speak to that sickness to go, as you believe that you'll have what you've said, and as you believe that you're receiving it, as you say it, God's power comes in and begins to work and deals with everything that is in your way. Everything that is stopping you going forward. And that's how Christ is glorified. That's how we are. He wants you to be an overcomer. There's no use saying, I went to a soaking meeting and I was there for 4 hours and I laughed myself to death. I'm not for any of that if you can't demonstrate Christ's power and Christ's victory and see mountains move by your faith. That's what glorifies God. That is what glorifies God. That's what we believe for in this house. Someone tries to get you moving in just an experience, that's all it's got. I'm not for any of it. I am for experiences, but only experiences that translate into moving mountain faith. And you need it. You know why? If you really belong to Christ, I want to tell you, I'm a pastor. I've been in ministry for 24 years, and so many times I preach, I've done crusades in Pakistan, I've done, and the greater the experience, sometimes I've been in my prayer closet 6-7 hours sometimes, just having these great times. Sometimes I come home from church on a Sunday where we've just been Sunday night with an incredible time all day in the glory of God. And I'll go home into my house and something's just waiting for me. Something is just waiting for me. And the enemy's saying, you're not going to get past me. I'm going to stop you. You know, maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's something with your children. Maybe it's something in your home. It's real. It's real. And God wants for you and I to be able to demonstrate Christ to the world. His face, his purity, and his power. And his power. And I got good news. The glory that was on that mountain is now in you and with you and will never, ever forsake you. And as you speak the word of God, as you speak what the Bible says, as you speak his word and you believe it in the face of, you know, you see sickness and you see disease, you said, by his wounds are being healed. You see lack. He's able to provide all sufficiency for all my needs. Maybe you feel, you go home and all of a sudden you just feel oppressed and you feel tormented. You just shout. Sometimes you've got to shout in the face of the devil. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And as you say that with faith, I want to tell you the power of God is still working, and it's still working as great as it was at the resurrection. It's still working today. The same power that parted the Red Sea, the same power that's making a way there where there is no way, the same power will everything the enemy puts in front of you will move it and destroy it as you believe today. And that is what God glorifies. That's what glorifies God more than any other experience. It is actually seeing Christ manifest in you and see you demonstrate Christ to the world. What qualifies you to have experiences in glory? I just want to say, because I'm not putting down experiences, this is what the Word of God says. In Colossians chapter 3, set your minds on things above, not on things on this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Some people say to me, I don't know about experiences. I've not had experiences. I don't know how to have experiences. Maybe Christ is not your life. Sometimes sports your life. Other things are your life. And Christ's an add-on. God won't take you on like that. He won't take you up the mountain like that. But when Christ is your life, you too will appear with him in glory. I feel that's what God's saying to us now. He's like, sometimes we go on a progression, we go on a season of growth. When we first become believers, we believe God for this, we believe God for that, and we trust him for this, and he's very patient. He takes on and he answers us and he provides for us and he answers our prayers. But sometimes there are other things that are more important still in your life. But he's bringing us into a season now where Christ is your life. When Christ is your life, oh, you get everything. You'll appear with him in glory. You'll appear with him in victory. But this is what he wants. He wants to be not an addendum to your life, not an add-on. He wants to be your very life. You've died with him. All self-centeredness, all self. Now you're alive and he is your life. He is your life. And if he's your life, his glory will follow you. His glory will cover you. His glory will anoint you. His face will shine on your face and your face will shine. Or when he's your life, your countenance will change when Christ is your life. And you'll be able to demonstrate Christ to the world before every problem and every obstacle. You'll overcome in Christ, because that's what glorifies him. Faith is the victory. Not the experience, as good as the experience is, but it is faith. It is faith. It is knowing that I will reflect Christ to the world. My face will shine in the face of all challenges, and I will not come apart. I do not come apart in face of enemy provocation, in the face of anything that's happened. I do not come apart because I know he is with me. I know I am shattered. And as I speak his word, I am an overcomer. I am a more than conqueror through Christ who is in me. He is in me and he is upon me. And every mountain's going to move. So when you go home from here today, don't be surprised. But also more, don't be moved. Don't be moved.